This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you for mercy. Thank you for great grace. Thank you for hope in heaven. Thank you for help in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, the minister of the New Testament, one of the true tabernacle. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for the authority. We thank you for your sovereignty. And thank you for your victory in the midst of the church. Honor you, Jesus, Son of God. Thank you for how you blessed us. We honor you, our Father. Thank you for mercy that you have given to us, particularly as a community, as a church, as a tribe. Thank you for your speaking amidst us. Thank you for help for us. I submit myself to you. I submit my mind, my heart, my thoughts, my meditation to you, Jesus. Ask that you come and guide and lead me. You will show me mercy, Lord. You will bring your thoughts through my heart. I will hear your whispers. You will push thoughts to my soul. You give me clarity, direction, guidance. You cause me to speak as I ought to speak. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
I want to talk about salient matters. Salient matters in the day of the revelation of the Father and the Son. Salient matters in the day of the revelation of the Father and the Son. What is another word for salient? Most important. So that was my heart. Salient matters. So there are matters in the day of the revelation or the day of manifestation. That word revelation also means manifestation. Revelation also means the appearing of the Father and the Son. They are salient matters. And in the day of revelation or appearing or manifestation of the Father and the Son. There's no doubt it's not by argument, by reason of mercy. We are living the day of the Father and the Son. Why? Because the Father is speaking and the Son is appearing and being revealed. We are seeing things of the Father. Gradually, He's still our Father. But gradually, we are coming to a place where we can say, our Father. It's a journey from our Father to my Father. So, that transition is what we are. So, the Father is speaking to us through His Son. Because the Father does not speak directly. And that is what Paul wrote in Hebrew. As a time that Hebrew was written, it was glaring that the Father was speaking through the Son. Then something happened to the church. What they call dark age. It was dark age happened in the church. It's gradually setting. By the time you start reading the epistle of John, and start reading 2 John, 3 John. Massive darkness has started falling upon the church. Just as what it happened to the physical Israelites. God, darkness fell on Israel. It started falling from the time that they sing the sing of Jeroboam. That what brought darkness on the nation. How do you all know? When a whole 10 tribe, out of 12 tribe of Israel, 10 tribe, that was a significant, because when you count the number, ratio 2 to 10, 10 tribe fell into something. When you need to read Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, the sin of Jeroboam is a sin of the pen of iron. He said that sin is a pen of iron. So the sin of Jeroboam was that Jeroboam was afraid. He was fear. Because Jeroboam became king of 10 tribes. Not because he qualified for it. But sin of Jeroboam, the root behind it was fear. It was fear. I'm talking about salient matters in the day of the revelation of the Father or the appearance and manifestation of the Father and the Son. That if you have it, you need to be particular. You must receive mercy and grace to begin to deal. And also things you must be doing and things you should be running away from. They are matters. So, God has spoken it that the Israel will be divided into two. It was not, but God didn't said when it will happen. God prophesied it. Then, during the reign of Rehoboam, which was the son of Solomon, a prophet met Jeroboam and tore his garment into 12 and gave him 10. That was 1 Kings 11. It came to pass that that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Sidonite, find him in the way. He had clad himself, he has used a cloak, clad himself with a new garment. And they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon. I will give 10 tribes to thee, but he shall have one tribe for my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of the tribe of Israel. So in the day of Solomon, God told Jeroboam, because Solomon had departed from the Lord, because of strange women. Because outside the Lord that govern everybody, after God gave the children of Israel commandment, they found out king that time. God knew that the children of Israel will end up having king. He gave them the law for their kings. And one of the law that God gave to the children of Israel is that when you become a king, you go to the priest to copy it for you. He said that enter the beginning, they should go to the king. King should go to the priest. That should get a copy for them on the original manuscript. Outside the Ten Commandments, there are more than 600 laws that are written in the book. They call it the book of the law. It's then from the what they wrote as Ten Commandments on the stone. So in that book, there's a section where they wrote what the king of Israel should not do. One of the things that the king of Israel must not do, a king of Israel must never use us. You can't ride us into Jerusalem. It's a law. Because Jerusalem is a city of peace. And all does not work. So one of the law is that you don't write us into Jerusalem. You can have us, but you must not write to Jerusalem. So the way they design where they keep abomination of war, if you read properly, by the time you start reading the Kings, when you read Ezekiah, they have cities where they put ammunition outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. But they don't put us. And that was one of the error that Absalom did. Absalom don't know that when you coronate the king of Israel, you don't write them on us. You write king of Israel on mule and cut. So what is that mean? Don't talk about consecrations that are required. Though you're a king, there are consecrations. Because what the kings of the Gentiles, king of every other nation, they boast in their horses. In fact, he said, you have said you are going to go to Egypt for help. And when you are going to Egypt, you are going to stay on us. Horses. And you will trust in chariots. Because there are many. Egyptian has many horses. And many chariots. Would, when you read Exodus, Pharaoh and his horse and chariot were sunk in the Red Sea. So when God was bringing them out of Egypt, what they used to pursue them were horses and chariots. Because they had gone 3 days before Egyptian. But they overtook them. Because when they were in Egypt, they didn't have horses. Because horses are not what God uses. Book of Proverbs said, some may trust in chariots and others in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So what us and chariots is to the Gentile nation is what the name of the Lord is to Israel. So what horses stand for and what chariots? Because why do you design horses? I would say, for horses is designed for the day of battle. But Bible says, but safety is of the Lord, or salvation is of the Lord. So why people amass horses, why nation of the earth amass chariots, is because that is what they count as safety, as salvation in the time of war. So what horses and chariots are for Gentile nation is what the name of the Lord is to Israel. Because horses are not for everyday use. You don't use horses for everyday. Because everyday use are animal beasts that you use to carry burdens and load. When you see us, it's only a grown us that they are trying to, we are trying to adopt. When you want to climb it, it will fling you off. Because it does not carry anybody. Horses are proud animals. So the way you do us is that when you get a child, you start bringing the horse together when the horse is still a child. So he grew up knowing that this one is my owner. That's why we only allow you to ride. So in case you want to transfer the horse to a grown-up person, what you do that, the owner of the horse will be the one that will own the ring. He will ride on another horse and he will hold tight. He's in another, he will hold that horse and he will go on a circle and tell the person that they want you to ride that horse to, after a while, he will tell you to stay beside the horse, but the horse will be going, but you soon will be rolling as they are going in circle. Suddenly, you ride it, but he will not let down the lead on you for you. So, when he climb it, he will be running with the horse together with the first one that he is riding. They will run together and gradually transfer the ring to you. You subdue us because you can ride it. So that word horses are for nations of the earth. So God told you of Israel, you can have horses. I said when you're a king of Israel, but your salvation is not in horses and chariots. In fact, you can see how Jeremiah painted horses. So he told them, he said, Egyptians are men and not God. And their horses are flesh. are not spirits. So what spirit is to you is what horses are for the Gentile. What the deliverance spirit can bring to you, the salvation spirit can wrought in you. The life spirit can give to you is what horses give to the Gentiles. So Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirits. So God wants to give God and God wants to give spirit because God is spirit. So horses are life of the flesh in one angle. So you can see that God told Israel that whenever you become king, they should go and copy from the book of the law how the king of Israel should live. Deuteronomy 17. And it shall be when he seated upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levite. So the original manuscript. So the king of Israel is supposed to be reading. That's when you read Psalm, you can see David. That's why God loved David. David is a person that he said, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all day long. So you will copy a part for the king to be reading. There's the original manuscript before the priest in Levites. But the king of Israel, he only one that they gave right for them to have a copy. So the king should be reading the book of the law. And in that law are more than 600 and something laws. He must know it in his heart. So, part of what was written in that law, that he will write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levite. And it shall be with him. He shall read it daily all the days of his life. So one of the sins of Solomon, that Solomon was not doing this thing. Instead of Solomon to be reading books, he was reading other books. I'm not the one that said it's in the Bible. Solomon said he read many books. Solomon felt that this book, there are other books. He started reading book of philosophers from Greece. He was reading books from Medes or the books of astrologies. Solomon was a mad in book. He said he wanted to learn madness. Because there's no madness in the book of the law. So the book of law, because Solomon has appetite for wisdom and knowledge. I was God that put it there. But the book is enough that if you are still with the book will keep enlarging. That book that God gave to Samasa, Metaso, that book was enough. Because how do I know? The book that Solomon started to go and learn. All the kings of the earth and queens of the earth, they have those books. But they still know that he knows something that the Buddha have read do not know. So they came to come and learn of his own wisdom. And the wisdom was the wisdom of the book of the Lord that he read. Because God said it in book of Deuteronomy 4. For them to know what that book is. And which also repeated it. He said, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. Even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land when you go to possess. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations. We shall hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, would God so near unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things." Say in all things. The book has answer to all things. The book that the book that God gave to them of Israel has answer to all things. Is Jewish people we are in Russia list. Even until this day, till now, nobody, no business run like Jewish business. Most of the tech companies in US are all Jewish. Israelites are in desert. They're in desert. Nothing should grow there. But it's not about the book they read. They know how to turn desert to fertile ground. And the secret was in the book. In all things, no marriage is as sweet as Jewish marriage. And what makes their marriage sweet is the book. So in all things, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all area, an aspect of life was in that book. But Solomon said that there are other things that he need to learn. He went after that, and those books, it was the love of those books that brought the love of women from those nations to him. Some people read, and said, there's no God. And the Bible said they are fool. They read, and their mind became bright. I said, there's no God, Jerry. There's no God anywhere. I don't believe there's a God. If there's a God, it doesn't have anything to do with me. You say there's a God, I don't argue with you. So they can be at peace. You say there's God, no problem. But if there's someone, I can't see that God is not relevant to me. We don't have business together. So everything that God wrote in the law, he said the king should have those things, and he began to state what those things should know. And it shall be that he shall read them all the day of his life, that he may know, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the word of these laws and these statutes which they wrote in Deuteronomy 4, that is a wisdom, it's understanding. All the word of the law and the statutes are for what? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to do them. Verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Though he's a king, he should not be lifted up. He should not feel important that he's not in the same level with his brethren. He's a king, but his heart must not be lifted up. That because he's on the throne does not mean he should be lifted up above his brethren. He should not think that he's a special being. No, by the time he put on a crown on his head, and he has crown, and he has many horses, there's every likelihood that if you are an Israeli, a normal Israeli will not get us, because it is not for everyday use. Us is not calibrated as one of the beasts of body. They are not like donkey. That when you want to go to market, Elizabeth wants to go to market. Say, Elizabeth, ask Judah. Judah, I want to go to market too. Just like when your wife wants to go to market. You say, I want to go to market. Okay, carry that B2 to market. So you can say, oh, so yeah, let's go to market. He won't follow you. The stubborn animal. Say, well, what's going on? You carry me to market. You carry me where there's blood, sword. That way I go to. No, but carry me to where they are selling vegetables. What kind of nonsense is that? So they gave their commandment that he should read that law so that he can have fear of the Lord all the days of his life. He will learn to fear the Lord. Certain things you are doing because you have fear of the Lord in your heart. There's something you can do and you'll blow your face because you lack fear. You lack fear. There's no fear. Fear of God that one day, if people know that one day, you will give account of everything you've done in the flesh. Everything. Nothing will escape. The only thing that make you escape, where they will not reckon for it, is if you have turned and you are not doing it again. When you start doing it, they will forget what when you stop. But so long as you are doing it until you breathe your last breath, you will give account of it. The only way they forgive is that when you start doing it, they call it remission of sin. They remit it. So we can see that God told the king that he should write the book of the law and be reading all the days of his life. And God has told him to read it, does not want him to read any other thing. Because what was he governing? And it's even no. Angel, if you see the rest of British people, if you're in the royal family, they don't go to the normal school. Most of all the people that are in House of Lord, ask me, what did they study? They study CRK. They study philosophy. That's what they study. They don't study engineering. They don't study law. They don't study those things. When you see those who are in the House of Laws, they don't do your course. There's the course of the commoners. Because why? They will never lose an engine. You will lose engine for their cars and their planes. Because you cannot go to see a prince to be losing engine. The best they do is that they fly military jets. They do short services. So there are specific things. And that flying a plane is an hobby. It's an hobby. They just learn as an hobby. But what they study really, they can study language. They can just go and study because they look at what is relevant to the kingdom. If they discover that under our kingdom, we have like France plus Dutch, we have 20 provinces that speak Dutch and they like to go and learn language so that they can be able to communicate and then they go for what their ambassadorial as they are going. That's what they learn. They don't learn your normal, they don't do engineering, they don't do accounting. They will not do their bookkeeping. They don't want to be employed to come and do their bookkeeping for them. They just know little math. So I'm just telling you, likewise, God knows that a king of Israel does not need every knowledge. That the knowledge of the law is enough. Because he only goes to govern their fear of woman's soul and their fear of woman's life. And the book is enough wisdom and understanding of how to handle it. And so what that thing, learn that thing, it will put fear of the Lord. Not fear for things, not fear for their life, fear for things in their world, of God in their heart. So they supposed to have the fear of the Lord, not fear for their life, not fear, even fear for their kingdom, not fear for tomorrow. What the law, the book will do, it will put the fear of the law in their heart. And because of that, their hearts will not be lifted above their brethren, and that he will not turn aside, turn to the right or to the left. To the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So he's in the midst of Israel. He must not exalt himself. So the Lord will make it to learn the fear of the Lord. And he will not make it to lift up himself above his brethren. Which the first king of Israel also broke all that law. And the first king of Israel was who? Because Samuel told them the kind of the king that they're asking for, they're going to get. He said, that king will take their sons and will make it to be grand men. He will take their daughters and taught them to what? To be dancer. He will take their men and tell their boys to be going to be cutting wood. They will leave their own father's business and be attending to the business of the kingdom. And the father's business is the business of the kingdom of God. So God told them somewhere, and said, this will be the man of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariot, and to be his horsemen. And sons shall run before his chariot. Because normally, king of Israel, when you are coming, you don't ride on horses. You are like everybody. The same level. You are a king, but you must be humble in heart. And sons shall run before his chariot. That is not the kind of king God has in mind. King that we absorb business of the day because he's coming to the city. He said, you go to have horsemen that will go before him. That means you go to have the entourage. The king is coming. The king goes, oh yeah, pack. And that's what Saul was. These are part of what made Saul at. God really wanted to help Saul. Let me tell you something. There is something about God. First about God that God, they believe to the last point, which is one of the characteristics of charity. God believed to last point. You see, if God knows that you have a tendency, God will give you more grace. God will likely give you more gifts than everybody. Which is different from the way man does things. If you know somebody has a tendency, you make sure you deprive him. If you know that somebody have tendency to be oppressive, you won't put the person in the place of power because you know absolute power corrupts. Yes, sir. But that's not God. God will give the person the power. Good. Why? Because people don't know what is in them. So part of what God does to expose what is in them, he will give it to them. And God will now begin to be opportunity to chasten them. To get that thing out of their life. If you want to understand that, go and read Job 32, 33, 34. And go and read Psalm 77. That's how you see. Jesus Christ, know that Jesus Carrot is a thief. He gave him a bag of money to be keeping. That's why, you see, you cannot tend God. God know that part of the wisdom of sin and death is that to bring you low. If Satan wants to bring man, God down, want to bring God low, is that If Jesus Christ have not given Judas Iscariot the bag of money, you will not know what is in Judas Iscariot. Gospel of John chapter 2 said, but Jesus did not commit himself unto men. John 2, 24, 25, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. But God knew what is in man. Amen. So he will give them power so that he can show what is in them. And he will now let them know that you are bad. Because he does not want them to enter to second death. Just like something is buried, he used position to excavate it. Satan would rather allow something to be buried inside men. But he used those things to excavate it out so that God can now have grant to be justified. Because some people will argue with God that I'm not bad. For example, you find that same principle is a principle. You see that principle in Romans 6 and 7. He said, for sin was in the world, and sin was not known. If you tell men that sin was in the world and sin is there, they didn't believe it. And God wanted to say, how can people be having sin on their inside and they don't know? So that sin can be revealed, as sin is in every man, and that men can know how sinful they are. The two things. That's the true reason. So that people can know that sin is in the world. And what sin wants to do, when sin hides and is not exposed in you, you will start dying gradually inside. Because you will never attend to it. It's as someone that has some sickness inside that it does not come early. By the time you discover it, the thing has advanced. And you can't eat again. So that was sin wants to do. Sin does not want to be known. Before the law came, and before God, sin was in the world. But nobody, for example, when you read Genesis, Cain never did, quote unquote, what you ever think is a sin. All what he went to go and do is to go and build a city, make a kingdom. Which, when you look at it, you find that the man is developing the earth. He's repacking, he's making the earth to be more beautiful. Introduce musical instruments. You say, who knows entertainment? Is anything bad with entertainment? But it's not about entertainment. What is entertainment meant for? It's for pleasure. Because, and God did not want any man to derive pleasure in anything except in God. God wanted to enjoy, but God don't want us to have pleasure in anything. There's a difference between enjoy and pleasure. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. When Revelation chapter 4, when the angels sang, for you have created all things for your pleasure. They were created. Yours they were. And they were created. So it's only God that's supposed to take pleasure. The only way to take pleasure is in God and God's things. You have to say, for whosoever loves pleasure is dead. Where is alive? The person is breathing. But Bible says anybody that likes pleasure is dead. Because it's not about pleasure. When it's so like pleasure to God, that soul will only be separated from God. Because when pleasure attaches itself to a heart, what God supposed to be to that soul is what pleasure will be to that soul. What God's instruction, what God's commandments, what God's value, what God's standard ought to be to that soul is what pleasure will replace. So you can't have pleasure in your soul by the things of this world and still make God and the things of God and what God is doing in your life to be pleasurable to you. You can't have two pleasure at the same time. So we saw that Solomon break all the principle that was taught him. That's able to read from the law. He's able to amass horses for himself. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. There's nothing about Egypt and horses. Egypt is the land of horses. Even until this day, if you want good horse, you go to Egypt. Egypt and Ethiopia. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall also return no more that way. Now that shall ye multiply wives to himself. King of Israel should not multiply wife. But Solomon had 300 wives. And 700 concubines. But this is the law for kings. Abraham, he only had one wife. In which the Old Testament, which that time they still gave room for it. Maximum, is he extra 3 or 4? Last time, they brought a small girl to David. Baba is always shivering. Baba, David had learned his lesson. Because he learned the last lesson when with Bathsheba. Because of what he did, the sword whenever divided for his house. And his son gave him trouble. You see, every man have tendency to multiply wife. Or let me say, to add wife. It's not ordinary for you to love the wife of your youth. See, you laugh at your breath. It's not an easy thing. They have to work upon your heart to be like that. Because the way you marry your wife will not be like that. She will change in your face. Because it's about the heart. In fact, you may not divorce her, but you are not in love with your wife. That's what happened in the book of Malachi. Malachi, there were two conditions in the land. Firstly, there were men that were giving their wife letter of divorce. Secondly, the category of people that they refuse to give their wife level of divorce. Anytime they go for God, Israel, they have their courses. Levites and priests, they have their course. They can travel to go and observe their course in the temple because they are living in different districts. Levi did not have a particular land. They scattered them among the 12 tribes. So every tribe created a piece of ground to allow Levi to say. So you find a Levite in every land in Israel. They didn't give them a portion like they give every tribe. And so because of that, so you have to travel from different districts to Jerusalem. So some of them, when they go to service, to go and render their service, they will delay. Their cost of service 1 month. They say, please, you know the way some people take overtime? They will take overtime service. service are coming. Yes. Can you show how many are you in the house? We are just 10,000 to serve all the 12 tribes. Can 10,000 people service them? Say, no, even if you are killing, and people are bringing sin offering, people are bringing peace offering, they are killing. It can be easy. I volunteer to do another 1 month service. And Bible says, their wife has to be go and be kind upon the altar of God. That I can't see my husband, no. My husband, God, you are taking my husband from me. God said, he heard the cry. That they are dealing treasonably. They are different from those who divorce. It's two different things. Those who put away the wife of their youth. And there's those who are dealing treasonably. What is treasonably? Those who bought their offering to Jerusalem. When they are going back home, let me tell my wife that work still plenty here. I know if you come. Just carry some nama, something that because they usually give them their portion. And they roast it until when it's like kunti, it's hard. They'll pack it and some fruit. Let me give them. Let them take care of yourself and the children. I can't clean myself, Jerry. Because when they get home, it's question. I was like, sit down. What happened? We started killing the animal. And what happened? Ah! I started sleeping. Baba Shagun, money close. So they started dealing with their wife. They won't go back home. So when they told to return back, because sometimes you have to travel through some of your brethren's streets. You travel, maybe you are Benjamin, and Benjamin is this, it is in the west. And the temple in the center, you have to travel maybe to Samaria. Samaria is in Ephraim, and you are part of Issachar. You need to travel through 3 cities or 2 cities. You say, well, hello, I'm coming. I will spend 2 weeks with you. By the time I spend 2 weeks, by the time I arrive there, the next course is ready for you to return back to the toilet. They were just with their wife. So every man, you may be laughing, but you have that tendency. Every man have that tendency. Something about men is that you want peace. And sometimes you may feel that your wife is talking too much. Your wife is asking too much questions. It's telling you to do what you don't want to do. And what you tell you to do is not that it's bad. It's just that you don't want to do it. So they began to deal with their wife with chest labeling. They were just dodgy. You know, just they dodged it. They were dodgy things. Dodging it. Smart boys, smart men. But on note that God was seeing what they are doing. They think that God was seeing it. So God said, because of that thing, God said, he's no longer receiving offering that they bring to him. God says, I'm not going to receive the offering. People of Israel will labor and travel for months to bring offering. The priest will kill it. But God has not received it. Because some people are in disobedience. And where disobedience was, is in how they were dealing with their wives. And that was what Peter was writing. He said, husbands should deal with their wife with knowledge, so that their prayer will not be in that. Just like the God was rejecting the offering of the people, the priests and Levi. So God can also reject prayer you offer to him because you are not dealing with your wife with knowledge. This will be hard for you. A wise man, just find a way to appease so that she'll be happy. So Solomon went to go and multiply wives and let the call of the wife and had concubines to it, 700 of them. And he now went to go and build city for them. He have a city for concubine. Okay, and concubine, and my baby boy. He built a whole city for them. They had their own city. And also built city for his wives. Because he was so rich. He was so rich. But he was not rich towards God. Any man that's not rich towards God, like that rich fool, they multiply things to themselves. That's one sign. That's one sign when you are not rich towards God. Because to you, you think that abundance, having things in abundance and having plenty of goods are what give you class. You find value in amassing things. God told me to teach, beware of covetousness. And I said, God, why? He said, because there are certain matters in the day of the revelation appearing of the Father and the Son. But I'm not saying that what causes covetousness is fear for your life. Everybody's covetous. And what covetousness will deny you? Covetousness will deny you of entrance into the kingdom. Or covetousness will deny you of inheriting the kingdom. Because there are two different things. You can enter the kingdom and you don't inherit it. So you can see the kingdom, you can enter, but you don't inherit it. So you read the book of Ephesians chapter 5. That you know that no warmonger, no unclean person, no covetous man. So a covetous man is an idolater. This was the way the Lord painted it to me. Some of us, there is two estates that majority of us are about to be entering into now. In the day of the Father and the Son. And the two estates that we should be entering into is that we should be entering as a state called newborn babe. Or the estate of little children. Those are the two estates that I perceive as a house. Everybody's supposed to be laboring to come into. I want to be a newborn babe. A newborn babe is a babe of everlasting life. Or I should accelerate from being a newborn babe. I should become a little child. And the little child is higher than a newborn babe. What you will do to be born as a newborn babe is what they call fervent charity. Then, what I will do or what they will get rid of me for newborn babe, what you find with little children are idols. And covetousness is idolatry. This is two estates God wants to bring us to, us as a church, quickly into. They want to bring us into a state. God desires you will be born as a newborn babe. And when you become a newborn babe, chapter 1 from verse 1, these are the things that you have to deny if you are going to be a newborn babe. For you to overcome these things, what must you be doing is called fervent charity. You have to do fervent charity. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guards and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, then what? As newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So when you are laying aside this thing with fervent charity, you will start taking sincere milk of the word. You will grow to become little child. For me to become newborn babe, I will lay something aside. And what I will do, what I will be doing, what I will be engaging my soul with so that things can be laid aside, is that I'll be doing fervent charity. It's in doing fervent charity that I'm able to lay things aside. I'm going to say, I don't want to do evil speaking. You will keep doing evil speaking if you are not doing fervent charity. It's like, someone say, I don't want to have malaria. You have it. Because it may be in your blood. You take anti-malaria. So what you must be doing to become a newborn babe, and as you are doing that, this will be laying things aside. Then you will become a newborn babe. Then when you become a newborn babe, they'll be feeding you with something called sincere milk of the word. You will grow to become a little child. Then, in the little child, what will be taking address is idol. But as soon as I'm coming a newborn baby, they'll be dealing with what? Malice. All malice. All guile. All hypocrisy. All envies. And all evil speaking. What we treat these things are fervent charity. If you don't have a charity, this thing, you will still start finding it. You will not know when you start talking evil of your brother. Because you are not doing what will heal you of evil speaking. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 22. Say you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So what they call unfeigned love of the brethren is the love of the brethren. So unfeigned love of the brethren is what they call charity. The love that is practiced amongst brethren with Jesus. Call in Matthew, the second commandment is like the first. So he called this unfeigned love of the brethren as the second commandment that is like the first. The second commandment is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Your neighbor is your brethren. There is a blood you practice among your kinsmen, not just your kinsmen, relatives. When you come into church of God, after you started hearing Christ, there's a love for all the saints because they all believe in the Lord Christ. But there's a particular kind of love that they expect those, they see them as your neighbor. What's neighbor? What neighbor means? Someone that's near to you. Is near to you. What it does will affect you. When your neighbor's children are running around, it affects you. So when you say neighbor, people that are close to you, not your biological family. So in the kingdom of God, in the house of God, there are people that are close to you. And there are saints that are not close to you. There are many Christians that are not close to you. The love for them is called love for all the saints. You have to love them. So long they believe in Lord Jesus Christ. But those who are not close to you, they are not going to do anything that will offend you. Even when they do something, it does not touch you. If they do something, a Christian do something now on your street, like no go to hurt. Maybe 20. Somebody does something in house number 2. It won't affect you. But what will affect you is the 2 neighbor on your left and your right and the one behind you. So, in the order of the kingdom, love changes. Love varies. It's in the natural also. You love everybody. But you will love your own children more. You love everybody. There is one affinity that is there. And God put it called natural affection. When you come into the spirit, the love, just like affinity for your own blood. So that love that someone that is near to you is something bad. I put to someone that is in house number 2. And you have a street group. Oh, come Mr. Tosa Felton. His car had an accident, and or the thief came to the compound and took the car away, and maybe something happened. You are going to say, oh, sorry. Though you sympathize, but that's not really sympathy. But when somebody in your house, that is more to you because it's near to you. So the love for those who God has brought near to you, now in the spirit, because you are a spiritual family, is called charity. Or unfeigned love. What is unfeigned? Sincere love. So God calibrates love. Because why? The person that is living number 2 on your street and you're number 20, you care. In fact, all of you, the chairman of the street can choose people, can put on the group, Mr. Lasisi, Ben Rekale, and Uncle Chigo, Mr. Chigo. So they list 5 people. So we are going to be, we nominate you. Let everybody contribute money on the street or on the post of the school. Let's buy something to go and use to sympathize because he lost his wife. Everybody in the street came to greet. You're going to sit down in the chair. You're going to present your gift. You're going to sympathize. You know everybody's saying. And everybody will go back. Nobody that day will not eat his food. In fact, that day, everybody will say continuous. Life continues. But the man that the thing happened in his house, you are sure for that day, all everybody in that house will not go to work. Everybody will write to their boss. Many things will shut down. Maybe another 1 week before they will now because it happened to them, the house. So there's a love for them that are near in the house to you. So something happened. In that former one, number 2, you care. But the love lacks some ingredients. you love, you're going to go and greet. That love lacks some ingredients, Abby. It lacks some components inside. Those components are minute. You don't go there and start laughing. Sometimes you have some heaviness, but it does not have the percentage of it very, very little. So, unfeigned love has a more ingredient inside. The percentage, the volume. So, unfeigned love, it has more addictive, more ingredient than love for all the saints. So, part of what we have that unfeigned love has, it has more compassion. In love for the saints, there's compassion. But it's only God that knows how to gauge the volume. God knows it. When the volume is there. That's why when we are talking about that thing, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, hard. You are. You have it, but you are. You can take 5 ingredients and make 5 different oil extracts. And you can make 100 different perfume, oil perfume, from 5 extracts of oil. Because what they use to make oil perfume are extracts, congee. And you will make what? 100 what? Different fragrances. What determines the fragrance you make is the volume you take from the 5 at different volume. And by the time you mix it, you produce a fragrance. Oil 1, oil 2, oil 3, oil 4. When you put, maybe you put 20% to 100%, they reject the kind of fragrance to you. When you take oil 1 and you make it 30 and you reduce the other one into 10 and you keep on 20, 20, 20, you produce another fragrance. Because the first one, we have dominance. And what we bring will be different. When you make that first one, by the time you keep giving various measures to each of them, you'll be producing different fragrance. But you use the same 5 oil what? Extracts to produce them. But because the volume, the measure we are different, 70%, and you make another 80%, and you make another 25% to get 100%. That is also love is in the spirit. You are the one that think that they can't measure love in the spirit. To God, God can measure mercy. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy. So there is an amount of mercy. God births fowls or hair, beasts in the field. All of them are enjoying mercies of God. The Bible says, for God openeth his hand and satisfy all living things. God have mercy. So what is keeping is mercy. But you cannot compare the mercy on the birth of the air on the mercy of God on human being. Level of mercy God show on human being, because fowls of the air, their soul cannot give reckoning to God. God does not count them as reckoning. But every man will give reckoning. The measure, what made up mercy that God give on mankind is higher than fowls and beasts of the field. So, likewise, when you become born again, you have left the class of just humanity. You are now saying, God, I love you. God will also increase the measure. God have mercy upon every human being. But because you now chose to obey him, God also increased his mercy over you. One of the mercies you're going to enjoy is that so long as you're obeying God, you can't die anyhow. You can't die anyhow. It's one of the mercy. Because why? When you gather 10 million people on the earth, it's only 100 people that are obeying God. So God has scarcity of number of people that are obeying him. So the number that you want to keep them, because there are more number of people that are not obeying God than those who are obeying God.
Yes, sir.
So to you, you say God is showing favorism. God is showing favorism. God saw that I had his state towards him. That's why God will come and take David. I'll find David, a man after my own heart. Therefore, because of that, I am going to give to David a sure mercy of David. David will have a mercy that is very sure.
Yes, sir.
So, sure mercy is mercy that does not fail.
Oh.
It's guaranteed. You can bank on it.
Yes, sir.
So, likewise is love. For God so loved the world. So, God loved the whole world. Like, no Christians will hate anybody. We should love full and ease.
Yes, sir.
Even though they are killing people. Because whosoever hates a God's creature is a murderer.
Oh.
Jesus taught it. Paul said it. John can say, whosoever say to a fellow human being that Baka, he says, guilty of air. So you can see that when you read Bible, if you have no understanding, you can say love is love. Love is not love. Love that you say is love. What is the ignorance? The measure of ignorance that made up each love differ.
Yes,
Love of God for everybody on earth. What is there? The measure of compassion, the measure of mercy, the measure of long-suffering, the measure of endurance. Because these are all things, these are the characteristics of love. When you read Galatians 5, you find it there, for the fruit of the fruit is manifest. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, they were telling you the character of love. What is character? That word character is coming from the word carats of love. There are 18 carat gold. There are 15 carat gold. Love as its carats. The love for all the saints is a carat. And when you want to talk about carat, carat means how many impurity you have taken away from it. How pure they are. So love are more purer than each other. What God call, what they call unfeigned love. They have to qualify that love. What is unfeigned? Sincere. And what made that love sincere is what he has inside. That's why in that first Corinthians, look at it. Charity suffer long. It's a love, but this love suffer long. This charity, when it's suffering long, it's kind. Because when you are suffering long, you are not kind. When you are suffering long on a matter, you are mean. But this love, suffering long, is kind. You are suffering long with somebody. He's doing something. You have every right to send him away or do something to him. Or stop favor, or don't bring it close. But though you are enduring the person, but you are also being kind to the person. The person is doing you hurt, then you still go and visit him when he's sick. He's in need. You are still showing up for him. When things that will hurt him, or things that you have power to do for him, that's not that he have been the one you have been enduring, that you have power to withhold, but you end up giving to him. In fact, what you do that? The more you are suffering long to him, the more you do more for him. You are more kind to him. You have to understand who God is. God will say that somebody can be a thief. He will give him more gifts. Because God cannot break the law of his love. Because why? God has brought Jesus kind of more closer. So he has to deal with him more kindly. So love has his character. Or he has his character. So 1 Corinthians 13 and Galatians 5 are describing the carats of unfeigned love. They are the carats. The carat of unfeigned love. Carats. Because those who deal with gold know how to test carats. They will take the gold and put it and melt it in fire. They will separate impurity out of it. That's how they know. They say, this gold, gold, now 50 carats. They will listen to you. Bring down. What they will do, they go and melt it. In melting, by the time this thing becomes a liquid, gold will go up and you scrape it up. You see the dross that's settled down. And when they leave it, it will solidify. They will place it on the scale. What they used to measure. So, God, you told me this thing, the scale is not lifting at all. Likewise, when God takes love, the Lord has inside of you. Because the heart of the Lord is so pure that it cannot be beyond impurity. God has a way of separating impurity in your heart. So you can be enduring somebody, but you're not kind to the person. Your kindness make that love to have impurity. You can say you're loving somebody, you're not talking, but you're not compassionate. Or your vote of compassion is only when the person is really, really has serious injury. You say, you have injury, eh? And when did it happen to you? Where is he paying you? He's paying you here. Okay. Have you seen doctor, though? I've seen doctor. Make sure you see doctor, though. Then, this one, because it's your padima. You have injury. Is it been you? Have you seen doctor? Say, I've seen doctor. Are you sure you have money to see doctor? This one, there are things that you never brought up here. But here, you are showing more care. You are showing tenderness. You show love here. But this love has more property inside than this. You can see, but God can see this. Those are the things that God looked for. That's why God was writing, say, if I give my body to be burnt and I have no charity. No, he's checking ingredient, the measure of what that love carries. So the love that your brothers that are hearing the same thing and are following the law, the way you love them is not the way you should love other unbelievers that are not close to you. That means what happened to them should touch you more. When you love them, you should qualify your love more with things. Your love should carry some adjectives. You know, adjectives to say something more better and clearer. Your love should carry some deep, rich property on the inside. That's how God classified love. That's why we had the love of Christ, the love of the Father, the love of God. They're not talking about the same thing. Because God Father, Christ, they are different. They are talking about different measure. Like Joker said, the Father is greater than me. When Joker said the Father is greater than me, is it because the Father is on this throne? No. He's talking about there is some love in the Father that I don't have yet. How they value in the Spirit is the quality and the purity that characterize a life that you have on your inside. The love that a spiritual man is not a man that pray and fast. So how God look at a soul, a heart, a mind that is spiritually minded, a heart that is godly, a man is spiritual. What heaven we consider is that check the his love qualities. And his love quality is measured not with God, I love you, and he's shedding tears when the worship is going on. Oh God, oh God, oh God, as if he wants to pass out. But he does not gentle towards his brother that is very close to him shortcomings. You know, most people that we are not patient with are those who are close to us. Yes. So you notice that. We are much more patient to people, our colleague in office, that we are present to your wife at home. Oh. It happens. It's everybody. It takes you to be more spiritual. So really, if God wants to grade you, God will not grade you as a spiritual man in what you saw in your office. That I said, love very, because those people, they don't sleep on your bed. They don't prepare food for you that they have too much salt. And they bring to the office, the cooler, when they serve it, you go chop on. And you don't make comments. You endure soup with too much salt. You can take 2 spoons and eventually you abandon it and go and sort yourself out. But you are not going to drop the money, or you went to market to go and buy the ingredient. They now put too much salt there. The way you're going to be rake, simply. That's why the trait on faith love or of faith charity, they will never use of faith charity to another Christian outside. They won't use it to your Christian brother in the office. It is to your wife at home. God have the bar he has set. That this is when I will say as measure up. His love inside is not unfeigned. And when that is unfeigned, what you will see? By reason of that unfeigned love or fervent charity, he will have put away all malice. Because you can't have that amount of love on your inside and they see malice with it. Why there's still malice? It's because that quantity of love have not yet been reproduced in that heart yet. The issue is not that, God, take away this money. The training of the Spirit to you is that they will bring people around you that cause you to have malice. And now begin to command you how you should not be malicious about their issues. And it will come straight. The way that we are malicious about some issues seems very smart. Sometimes the way we are malicious about the issues is that we need to be praying for ourselves. We are bad. We need to start praying. God, everything that make her, oh Lord, the industry of ourselves to God, help us so, help us so. That's a malicious way. Because that's saying you can put it on a spiritual cloak. But what she does, one thing that God will tell God, say it to nobody. I've heard some issue that is born inside. I must say this thing now. That's why I go to the pastor. If you don't say it, this thing just a do you. How can I be the only one to know this thing? That restlessness is out of you. I want to say that. That is Mali. Mali is beyond that I'm not talking to you. That thing is malicious. That thing, if you tell this person, there's a way you are going to cause something that this act is open. But that act will just become more conserved about the person. To limit the amount of openness of heart, the bowel of the person. God will make sure that people that are close to you, people that are near to you, and are also near to some friend, God will make sure that they are near to you. There are 3-4 of you that are friends. God will make sure you are seeing the matter. And God will tell you, don't take it. Don't say it. They still be doing it to say it. Sometimes you want to use to pray. God says, shut up. Don't pray. Pray for yourself. Because even for seeing such things, they are there. But it's higher training of love. Because you will see when they begin to talk about charity. In Peter, they say, charity covers. The sin is there, but covers multitude, not some multitude of sin. I'm trying to describe something in the spirit. Christianity is not just that, I know they lie, I know they steal. That's not Christianity. The more you grow in the spirit, you know that God pay attention to what you don't see. That's what makes you to be spiritual. To be spiritual means you are seeing what a natural kind of people don't see. You can read details where Satan lies. Satan is not obvious. Satan is hidden. Sin that disqualifies us are hid. We don't know it. Except they give us spiritual wisdom to design them. So, God's intention is to move us in the day of the Father and the Son, is to move us into a newborn babe. And what I do so I can become a newborn babe is what they call fervent charity. You can have love, but your love is not fervent. Love that has fire on the inside. What does that connote to us? Fervent charity. Love that has flame. The love that carries flame. Solomon was describing it. It's exactly what Peter was saying. Charity shall cover multitude of sin. Then Solomon was describing that in Book of Solomon. He said, many water cannot quench love. There are people that you love. When they do something, when you should love them, the thing sink. Your heart will sink. Because you became disappointed in them. And your soul become cold towards them. So for some of them, you are even talking to them. But you and them know. Because others is even love. And they give love. If you are spiritual, you know. Because love is spiritual. It's not lost. True love is spiritual. Love that Holy Ghost is working. Because it takes Holy Ghost to shed love God abroad in our heart. Holy Ghost shed it. So in the heart, because the person have done something, you have corrected it. When you correct first time, maybe it's a mistake, second time, third time, you said invisible war. You still talk. It's not all malice, don't talk. Because they are shedding malice. They say, all malice, all envies. You are talking, but you are not talking. You know, there's people that you talk, but you are not talking. You talk, but you keep details away. You talk, but you keep important thing away. You can do the talking and leave important matter. So those are what everyone pay attention to. You must know there's what everyone pay attention to. Everyone doesn't stop like, I love you. Heaven has traced the component when you say you love me. If you have not learned God and you have not learned Christ, if you have not learned Christ to know what made up Christ, you will never know that love has those inherent properties, and those inherent properties as measure and volumes. Those are the things that God checks. God checks how much open you are to your brother that you are hearing to them. God check it. There's some churches. Everybody is an enemy. And they pray for their enemy. They visit each other. Before you go to restroom, you make sure you finish your drink. If you don't finish your drink and you are pressed to enter the toilet, you go to the church, but you won't drink it. Not like a person. They have thought amidst themselves that, it's not listening to radio, but we bring it to come and preach at it on the church. You are sure that you can't be preaching that kind of a thing and that you not dilute and corrupt the content and component in love by those teaching. You are there, you are suspicious. Suspicion does not look as if it's a sin, but suspicion colors love. Suspicion, it will water down the quality of love. That's why anybody you are suspecting, it's better for you to go and talk about it and let the person know, this is why I suspect. Jesus Christ gave the purse to Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot knew that Judas Iscariot had been taking money. That was say, for he knew he was a thief. But Judas Iscariot never for once suspect. If you become suspicious of somebody, the person goes out. Where are you coming from? Where particularly? I'm going to say, I went out now. Okay, what time do you leave the place? He showed that you have suspicion. There are things that a brother may do that make you to start suspecting the brother. You must talk about it. I can see that you have pushed me to a place for suspecting you. Based on this and this and this that you have done. I'm supposed to be having unfair love towards you. What you are doing is pushing me to a place that love is no longer sincere. Because true love should never be suspicious. Or love that is in Christ should not be suspicious. When you tell me, I go to Unilag, I should not think that you say you go to Lunak. What time you say you go to Lunak? What time is going? When there's no suspicion, what sincere love should you look for excuse? Maybe there's a traffic. You just look for excuses. And oftentimes, brother, you know that the brother may not be sincere. Holy Ghost will teach you so that your love can remain unfeigned. Holy Ghost will tell you to look for excuses for the person. Though you may talk about and begin to suspect about things we are doing. You told me you left in La, but I was told he saw you in Sabu. But when you are giving account of Jesus, you say you get to Joe Legba. And not once, not twice, I've seen that there are discrepancies in what you have told me. And it's giving me that you are not helping my heart. Whatever you have said that, heaven will expect you when he comes back again and say he's coming like, for you to look for excuses. Tell you, maybe he forgot. Every time you give a excuse, maybe why he didn't mention Sabu and Luke, because he forgot. And somebody will tell you, go back way. He knows what he's doing. But the issue is that if you don't, your love will not become sincere or unfair. As long as your love is not unfair, you are not going to be a newborn babe in your soul. What's not about a newborn babe? Newborn babe does not have record of what anybody has done. When you say a person is a newborn babe, as a newborn babe, why you have malice? It's because you are not yet new. You have something that you are still contacting back. So when I tell you I'm coming from you, like, and say, Pastor Thompson, you don't talk. But something is, are you sure it's coming from you, like? Are you sure it's coming from you, like? Are you coming? Because you are not yet new completely. But forever to make you new, so you can become a new child, they will tell you, lay aside all Mali. They are legitimate grant. Why? There should be Mali and suspicion about the person. But they will give you instruction to go against it. Maybe give reason, give excuses. He just forgot. When he was a country, he forgot. That's what they call to do the work. That's what I mean to serve God. Serving God is not singing and carrying a microphone. That's what they call serving God. That's really serving Jesus. That's what I mean to serve Christ. That's taking that weight on yourself to give excuses. Not believing what every normal human being will be, that he knows what he's doing. He's calculating it. He's trying to hide something. That is the work. That is what heaven counts as work with God. That's really. So that is what they use to measure us. But normally, that thing does not look visible to anybody. It looks so hidden, you can brush through it and bypass it. And you will give legal justification to why you should stay in suspicion. And to you, you will feel justified in your presence. Will I open my eyes? Even when they say Yoruba, say, will I open my eyes and let things keep deceiving me? Heaven doesn't want you to think that you are being deceived. To please God, it's hard. And this is. Because it's a complete overoiling your mind and thinking. Because they say, where everybody think? And they say, no, you can't think like that. So long, the person is seen as your brethren. Is your neighbor. Is close to you. Close to you that you may not align to close to you. So God, God seen as your neighbor.
Yes, sir.
Because he is still with you. So long as he's still around you. And he has all these infirmities. Heaven will train you. And heaven will train your heart until you can be sincere. Sincere means unfair. It is when you have done it and done it. That's how you will do it. But as you're doing it, the quality, the character of your love is becoming purer. Because you yourself have your own fault. But that thing will start taking care of malice instead of you. Something I want you to keep grudge. Something I want you to be suspicious. Something that you want you to be envious. That exercise will keep cleaning you up on your inside.
Yes, sir.
I say, why? God will look at yourself and say, this soul is a newborn babe. It's a newborn babe. True exercise, true obedience, true training. But when you are like that, you will think that that's the best love. But that's not about love. There's something higher than that. So you can use that love to grow into a newborn babe. Then as a newborn babe, they will start feeding you with sincere milk of the oil. You can grow. At this stage, your problem is no longer envy. Your problem is no longer evil speaking. Because you don't know how to speak evil of anybody. Even when the person is doing evil. There was one man in town. That man has done evil to everybody. You know, they were doing wake up. And wake up, they came to come and talk. They said, if you have anything to say, come and say. Nobody have anything to say. That man never have anything you can reckon to that you do. Everybody needs to be an evil man. Everybody. Nobody stood up in the wake up. A man stood up. Even Egi could not stand up to give testimony about a man. Only Egi could not stand up. He said, one man stood up. He asked him to say about that man. One good thing to say about that man. He said, ah. He said, I've been seeing a set of teeth. He said, nobody teeth is as set and straight like that man's teeth. He said that teeth is a special teeth. You know, he will take close observation. Because what you everybody's observing is that one is wicked. He's a bad man. He's a bad man. Don't go there. He's a bad man. He said that man has a very high love walk. He could notice his teeth. That's why his bad behavior. So there's an higher love more than fervent charity. So when you are a child, a newborn babe, you're supposed to grow from a newborn babe into a little child. And the Lord training, you need to start learning. Because you find that in 2 John. They connected the law of the Father to three stages of growth. From 12. Many studies say, they say love not the world. So the first thing for a newborn babe, the first growth after you have used fervent charity, a love that is sincere. Because without doing that, you will not move into the world of the Father. You know, I started praying that God will tell you the secret of the Father. When you say, man, ask the secret of the Father, what does he have? I like to do little children. So what newborn babe that used fervent charity to become a newborn babe? And by this of newborn babe estate, something has happened. They have laid aside all malice, all guard, all hypocrisy, all evil speaking, and all envies. And now they are newborn babe in learning the things of God. They are now ready for the Father. So they will give every newborn babe a training. They will feed them and train them. They will train them with the first curriculum of the love of the Father. In the love of the Father, there are three curriculum there. So you have to undergo the first curriculum of the love of the Father. What that curriculum is targeted towards. Though you are a newborn babe, but you have a sin that they must heal you from. And the sin of every newborn babe, also for a child to become a man, is a tendency to idolize things. Is to idolize things. The man can idolize anointing that God gave him. Just like there is a thing that you give to your child, you don't want to give to him. You will start getting angry when you say to give it back to you. What they call sin there is not what you call sin when you are a babe in Christ. Because this person have undergone fervent charity. So they have put away all malice. But that's what they call sin. Yeah. So I write unto you little children, because your sin is forgiven you for his name's sake. What is his name? His name has four things. His name is his identity. His name is his nature. And thirdly, his name is his authority. These are the three curriculum in the Father. So the first thing a newborn babe will grow to become a little child is to learn his identity. That's why when you see, I love you little children, because your sin has been forgiven, you say, for his name's sake. Is that not what they said?
Yes, sir.
Now look, when they are dead with their sin, look at what happened to them. When they repeated it again. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. When their sin have been forgiven, which is their problem? They came into an estate. I write unto you, children, because you have known the Father. To know the Father means you have come into his identity of his name. So it's the first school in the Father. But what they call sin of little children is this war. It's not the lust in the war. They deal with the lust in the war. Actually, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh majorly in Christ. Because they are the things in the war. It's not the war. The Bible says, the war passeth away and is lost. So the war is different from the lust in the war. Teaching of learning Christ. We are less the loss of the earth and loss of the flesh. Ephesians chapter 2 render it. The desire of the flesh and of the mind. Whereas, fervent charity deal with the pride of life. When it's not the pride of life, it's his pride. the pride of the life of lust. Lust as his pride. That is what fervent charity go against. Every life wants to keep himself. Every life wants to keep his own pride. You can do everything, but no, you can't look down on me. So lust wants to keep his own pride. And that's why whenever we start teaching you part of foolishness, fervent charity, look at that person. Don't suspect him. Though he's doing things, that's for sure. But God said, no, that's not the approach to deal with this thing. Because really, when you know somebody is playing you, and the training of love is that you should see that he's not doing it. And the person will be doing it with things that you don't know. The person is eating your pride. A pride of a life. The boast, I've caught you. But the person is doing the same thing. And to a lot of the person will know that I don't play, you don't know. They want the person to think. You must not go and talk to the person. And they say, don't talk about it. I know what you're saying. And you're not in denial. You know. And they don't need to pretend. They give you commandment to do it as if it's not there. But it's there. And the other person does not know that you are fully aware that you know everything. That's how they lynched. Oh God, that's the best word. They lynched. The way they would lynch thief in Lagos before it stopped. They get there, they put tire. The way God wants to lead the pride of life is to give you commandments. Like that thing that Stephen said when he did his eyes, when he was throwing him, Father, forgive them, for they know what they are doing. He's enacting a law. Because that's the only thing that can lead pride of life. You can be righteous because Christ is life and peace. You can have arrived in peace. But you have not lynched pride of life. Because there's nothing that can be so illuminating and disturbing on your inside. Where somebody is doing something that you know. And you stay in a state as if you don't know. The person saying you don't know. Because what that thing that don't want to die inside of me is the pride. That I was cheated and I know I was cheated. And I cannot go and lead that myself again to be cheated again. It's a life. But that life, God wants it to die. Yeah. So long as that life is inside of me, I will not become a newborn babe. Yeah. The problem is that I have the knowledge of it. And you want to let me again. But Jesus is not like that. That was it. He was led to the house of the shearer and to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. That was a love walk. And that's what I must do if I will become a newborn babe. That does not have record or sin. Because what I was struggling for, I was fighting for my life. It's a pride of life. Part of life is not that because I do my chest like this. No. Part of life is that sin has given everybody a life. Part of life is a revelation. It's an understanding. It's a sense that we have. It's understanding. From when you don't want to be cheated, it's a pride of life. That sin of you that don't want to be cheated is a pride of life. Is cheating somebody right? No. Look at Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2. Who can't teach not robbery? The issue is not that he can't teach not robbery. He does not record it as a robbery to God. We be God, we be eternal. Why should I be the one, the out of the three of us, to go? Formerly, God does not ask him. Boom. Joker resurrected. And when he resurrected with eternal life, he has that bone. So when you get to the midst of the three beings, because God is a spirit. And that we watch God, we God in spirit and truth. Holy Ghost is a spirit. They call Holy Spirit. All of them are spirit before. Then you now have one person that is different out of the three beings. You now see somebody is a God, is a human being. He has twice. Diocas' age before that was 33 years. Diocas is not growing above 33 years. The way you grow and you have some white hair, very white. That when you see that, you say, Baba. They make sure the black hair of Jesus Christ still remain black. Because he now have the power of eternal life, incorruptibility, immortality inside of a human being. Jesus Christ is a human being. He's eternal human being. People say, Jesus Christ does not count that thing as a robbery. That you rob me off. You rob me of a spirit, unseen being. The way they don't see you, they don't slowly go. Let me also be like that. And what make him do that is love. It's not charity that made that thing. Because you can't be like that. So they will start using fervent child to train you. Because what made your God is what they call the love of God that made your God do that. But you can't do the love of God. They have to train you with lower love called fervent charity. So whatever charity don't want you to do, he wants you to keep your life. He wants you to say, why should I allow the pride of sin go? Because that's why the lust of the flesh is the pride of life. Because sin is a life that does not want to go. And if sin will go, if sin will pass, if it will really concerning you, that the lust of this world have passed in your life, they will school you and command you with fervent charity. Love that's hot. So that they can melt the pride around the life of sin that every man strives to keep. Often times, some of us will overcome loss of the flesh. This is what we don't overcome. Yes, we have overcome loss of the highest, loss of the flesh, but we have not overcome pride of life. And the answer to this is fervent charity. And without it, we cannot transit. It's the love of transiting you from the day of Christ into the day of the Father and the Son. For you to become a newborn babe. Watch me. We don't want sin life to go. Because if sin life should go, you want to turn me to where everybody will just be cheating on me? Because I can't accuse anybody that you have done something wrong against me. Because fervent charity will cover it. Fervent charity cover multitude of sin. I must not see your sin. Then you can keep doing something wrong with me and I must not see it. You have taken my pride because part of what makes woman being is that I can at least vent my anger. Okay, I don't want to be angry. I'm not angry. I'm to be able to vet that, oh boy, I don't catch you. This is what you did to me. But now, it gives me pleasure that you, for you to know that I know what I've done. So, when you take that occasion from me, you take that grant away from me, then what have you make me? You have taken away the pride of a life that I've used, that I trusted, that is my defense. Because that thing is my defense. The reason why you're not able to do that thing to me next time is because you know I know you did this. You'll be more courteous, but you have taken that ground. So you can keep doing it, think I don't know, and determine that I should say it, you are covered. That is the training that makes us to be a newborn babe. That is training we have to go through. That's how they will train our hearts. That's how they will train our mind. So they will surround us with people that are presenting that we have to keep covering, until we constantly come. They are doing it, but you're no longer seeing it. Then they will say, thereafter, they say, now you are a newborn. Because if today, a baby that's a newborn, you go and give the baby a knock, he will cry. But he cannot remember that you gave him a knock. He does not have the facility to remember. Tomorrow, you will come and carry that baby. He will take growth in knowing good and evil. For you to say, this is born, just give me a knock. So when you say, a newborn. It's not another. A newborn. So why I have some malice? Because malice is traceable to previous what you have done. Why I have evil speaking? It's what evil you've done that I can speak about. But when you're a newborn babe, through fervent charity, so you erect remembrance of those, you lay them aside. So God, you are not yet a little child. You are just a newborn babe. So the commandment to become a new child is what they call the love of the Father, so that you can know the Father. I like to little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Then, when your sins are forgiven, I like to little children, because you have known the Father, which is the first curriculum in the school of the Father, is to know the Father. And you will not know the Father until your sins are being forgiven, or your sins are being taken away. And what God will use, that sin, when you read 1 John chapter 5, for say, little children, keep yourself from idol. So when they wanted to talk about idol, Ephesians chapter 5, what is idol? For this you know, that no womanger, no unclean person, this unclean person is a man that had the pride of life. No covetous man. Who is a covetous man? Who is idolater? Because until they address your covetousness, covetousness is not the only covetousness of money. Because those are sin. In the day of the appearing of the Father, the Son, they are selling matters that you have to pay attention to. Every shade of covetousness. Covetousness is not money. Love of money is what makes you to be covetous. It's the love of money that makes you to be covetous. It's not money that is covetousness. Joke that we're talking to a brother. His father left inheritance for them, but he didn't put the will there when he left the inheritance. And it's only two of them the father gave it to. And the father left the inheritance. But the father didn't pull the will. and the other brother decided to corner everything. And he now came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I know that my elder brother usually attended your meeting. It's not the people that are following you. But you can be following Jesus. But you are not doing his thing. Any beggar, I'm not ready to fight. I'm a peace lover. I have life and peace inside of me. I love peace. I don't want us to fight. I don't want two brothers to be fighting in case of anything. Let me beg my brother that he should just divide the thing and give me the one that will belong to me. Joker, look at the person. Joker does not judge for what you say. He said, beware of covetousness. Abba. If you want to say covetousness, the person that has covetousness is the person that wants to take everything. But it's not the person that wants to take everything that is covetous. It's that man that wants a share that is covetous. His own share is the one that has covetousness. To me, definition of covetousness is the man that wants to take everything. Abi, that's all of our no covetousness, but that's not what it is. It's the man that is designed to have his own share. He doesn't want to take extra. That has covetousness. And they said that thing is idolatry. And without taking that thing away, you cannot inherit the kingdom. You can see it. You can enter it, but you won't inherit it. That's why the people that they gave the kingdom to, oh, little flock. Who are they? Little children that their sin have been forgiven. Oh, little flock. It is the devil, Father, to give you the kingdom. So, until your little flock, until your little children, won't see, I'm thinking, you can't inherit the kingdom. And the kingdom, what is the kingdom? They came to ask Jesus Christ in Matthew 13. Why do you speak to the people in parable? And you don't speak plainly. So, like I say, unto them, it is not given to know the secrets of the kingdom. So, the secret of the kingdom is the secret of the Father. So, when we are talking about to know the secret of the Father, is to know what the Father prioritizes. So, the mystery of the kingdom is the secret of the Father. So, you speak to them in parable so that they will not have access to the secret of the Father or that thing that the Father hides. There's something that the Father hides from everybody. But he still added something until he gave it to you. And he will not give it to you so long as you are coveting. That covetousness is of you. Because to him, that covetousness is an idol. And you cannot have any other idol beside God. If God will give you a secret, he will take away your idol. Because an idol is a God. So God will take away your idol, which is your God. So that he may be the only one. Because it's the commandment. It's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not have any other God beside me. So your idol is another God. That God will not share his glory. So God will say, no, no, you can't inherit me. You can't inherit my secret. God, my secret is who I am. It's my person. So if you want my secret, that I hide myself. Then take away your idol. Which is locked around what you are coveting after. Because we are deceiving the Father. They wrote it clearly in the book of Hebrew 13. Hebrew 13 was teaching about covetousness. He said, let your conversation be without. Without. This was 12 after you have gone through the chastening of the Father of Spirits. In chapter 12. And you are seeing a kingdom which cannot be moved. So you are supposed to have a conversation that is without. Without. You have gone through the chastening of the Father. You are a partaker of his holiness. Then you have a conversation that is without covetousness. And be content as such you have. That means everything you have at a time, be content with it. What you don't have, don't complain about it. Anything you have, be content with it.
Yes, sir.
What you don't have, if you complain about it, then you have an idol. In Christ, you can see, say, I listen, but when you move into the scene of the Father, what you have, you are content with it. What you don't have, you don't talk about it. Because you are come to a war. Look, I taught this thing in Matthew 6, 7. Which one of you, by taking thought, can you see me? God, I don't like my shape. Can you see I'm too short? That is what you are not contented with. Can you see I'm too skinny? What you don't have, be content as what you have. What do you have? Because make you know add on to that. What you don't have, don't talk about it. Because what you don't have, and you're looking for it, is your hider. Is what you want to have, get a life without covetousness. So Jack, I thought it. He said, by taking thought, cannot a cubit. You can't increase your height. You can't increase your shape. You can't add anything. He said, such is your heavenly Father. He knows you have need of those things. So anything you don't have, you have a point that your Father knows that it's not a need to you. Everything that's a need is available. That's why you have them. What you don't have is not a need. Those are requirements of conversation for those who inherit the kingdom of God. Those who have the secret, the mystery, the hidden life in God. These are men that can reign. This is what it takes to reign. So say you reign. The existence of secret to overcome, secret to reign. So in this house, in Christ's is to move us to become newborn babe. And so what's the same of what we do is that we start dealing with our idol, which are our covetousness, things that don't make us to be contented as such as we have. Say, look at me, my nose is wide, it's not pointing. Huh? So that complaint is covetousness. Actually, they have taken away envy from you. You will not covet that pointed nose. Because when she has it, you don't have it. He has it for us. But when you want it, because to God, God see that thing as idol. And you cannot have two God beside me. God told me, said those things are commandment of the Father. You see, Joker say, as the Father has given me commandments. They can't move that thing to side of you. They can't move it. They will give you commandment. It's true commandment that they will route those things. True commandment. It was a command for little children. 1 John 3. In 1 John 2, the mention of the law passes away. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So God told me, say, it's not money that's the root of evil. So covetousness is different from the love of money. Money can just make you to be covetous. Yeah, and it's not only money. We look at love preeminence. Preeminence is also covetousness.
Yes, sir.
So money just a route into covetousness. Covetousness just needs a vehicle. Or he needs an advantage to tie you to himself. So it can be money. It can be fame. It can be anything. It can even be love for knowledge.
Yes.
But it's covetousness.
Yes,
you must arrive at the point that you are without covetousness. A conversation without covetousness. That is the secret of the Father. That one thing that Joker is obey. That one thing the Father loves Jesus. Because Joker has come to God and said, I do nothing. I keep the commandments that my Father gave me. Joker never for once lived to protect himself. It's to please the Father that live for. So, 1 John 3. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed. So, that means you are going to do some deeds that will show to the Father that you love the Father more than anything. And in truth, hereby we know that we are of the truth. The truth is the Father, living Father. And shall assure our heart. Assure our heart. We are not in doubt that something has been done in our heart. And shall assure our hearts before him. He will see something. We will assure our heart before him. Then verse 20. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward. These are people that are doing towards God. They are in God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep. So that man, he keep commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the realm they are opening to us. This is what they want us to become. This is a war they have brought us as a church. This is what they have brought us into. They want us to stay in this war. They want us to be engaged in this war every time. Now, with our brother, our sister. They want this thing to become so real to us. We dwell there. We live by it. It's our reality. It's our conversation. It's a conversation that's without covetousness. I'm praying that we will find mercy.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Covetousness is a serious thing. It's a serious thing. We don't know it. We didn't like to know that thing. It's a sin that's attached to people that the father have forged, that have been chastened by the father. Before you can do that, they can't take away that the root of that thing away from you. They say he has a root. The love of the money is the root of all evil. He has a root. He has a root. They can start him with covetousness in Christ, but really, it's not the father they deal with it. Where you can have conversation without covetousness. That you might know. Look at what he said. Let the conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. They make sure they don't live with that conversation. They now put something there. Be content with such as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you don't have those things, yes, when you are contented with it, to God, he showed that you know that I am with you. I'm not leaving you. Not that I've forsaken you. But when you don't have something and you are not content with it and you are restless, to God, you feel that he has forsaken you. So you are making him a liar. This is what we mean to say you are a partaker of his holiness. This is when you say you are partaker of the Father's holiness. So partaker of the Father's holiness, you know, I told you, I said there are three schools. To partake of the Father's holiness is to partake of his nature. The first is identity, which is a thing you partake as a child. Then move is his nature. Then you partake of the authority of his life. So those are the three things in the Father. It's an identity, it's nature. You must know all those things. So as a little child, you will show something. You come to a place where you have known the Father. You have known the Father. Then I write unto you, fathers, because you have known that it's from the beginning. They are all word of the Father. Father, I pray for us as a house that you have started with us already. That each day you will come to us. Amen. Every day will be a time of shining light. Amen. Every day, because you are a father of light, in goodness, of darkness, shadow of darkness, that your light will shine to expose all our darknesses. Amen. Our darker will not hide under your light. Amen. Are there individuals that are not yet conscious of the era that we are in? I pray you visit us in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will show us great mercy, Lord. Amen. I pray where we need to perfect, perfect charity. I pray we will do them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And where we need to do the love of the Father, you will cause us to see those commandments. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We will love our life, pride of life. Amen. Neither will we hold on to our high doors. Amen. You help us to be sown our uncleanness, Amen. Which is the pride of life. Amen. And we disown our high door, which is our confessiousness. Amen. In this season, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.